Amen. So the title of my message today is Who is Wise? We're in the book of James and we're at the end of chapter 3. You know, in the original Greek writings, there's no chapter breaks, but there is in our Bible. So that's why, you know, I'm saying we're in chapter 3. And I must say that the confirmation that the Holy Spirit has led us to study this book right now is so clear. We're in a new season here at His place. And God prunes the church of its dead branches to make room for the harvest of new fruit that is coming. He does this individually for us, and He does this corporately for us. Bye. She said bye. The more intentional we are at living out our faith in obedience to the Word of God, the more freedom we experience. James preaches hard truths about genuine faith. Our faith will be tested in trials, temptations, obedience to God's Word, how we treat those in need, what we do, what we say, and how we say it. James cares dearly for the church, as do I. He knows the tragedy of one who professes faith in Christ but lacks the evidence of that actually being true. Their deeds, their words, attitude, and behavior testify that they are not who they say they are. Keep in mind, none of us are perfect. We all fall short, but our growth in Christ should be evident to us and others around us. James hits the church with one more uppercut test. If last week was a right cross, this is an uppercut of truth for the church. Do we operate in the wisdom that comes from God, or do we operate out of our own wisdom? Our own earthly wisdom. Wisdom is more than just knowledge. It is the application of knowledge with divine power at the right time in the right way. And it transforms behavior and attitudes into righteousness. Let me say that one more time. True godly wisdom is the application of knowledge with divine power at the right time in the right way, transforming behavior and attitudes into righteousness. Buckle up, church. And may I encourage you today to own what you need to own. Let the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit convict you and encourage you to turn from sin and go deeper in your faith in Christ. Whether you're brand new in the body of Christ or you've been walking with Him for decades, we can all do better. Amen. Please try to refrain from thinking, I hope brother or sister so-and-so is here because they really need to hear this. And just focus on your own heart, please. Let's focus on ourselves today, not what brother or sister so-and-so are doing. So we're in James chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 13. And it says this, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. We're getting called out. James is calling out his church. Who of you are really wise? Who of you who profess their faith in Christ, that you're a Christian, you're walking with God, who is wise? Does your life walk the walk, or you just talk the talk? Have you just learned Christianese? Or do you crucify your ego in order to obey Scripture? James lists three proofs of the godly wisdom. He's saying there is a proof of that you're operating in godly wisdom. And one is their good life, their general conduct, how you carry yourself when we're not in church, when we're out at your job, at 7-Eleven, on the 405. Your general conduct in life by your good life. Number two is specific acts by deeds done. Actually what you do matters, and it preaches. Because you can profess one thing and live another thing. How many have seen that in their life? And number three, attitude. These good deeds are done in humility. That comes from the wisdom of God. See, they're tied together. That the Greek word for humility is proutes. And it means gentleness, meekness. Some of you are gonna think this is the cuss word, but it means submissiveness. Like, submit. I get it. But it's a gentleness. It's coming in low. Like Christ came out of glory, was born of a virgin, could have called on angels to smoke everybody that came against him. Yet he did not say a word. He had a purpose of walking with God. He was meant to come here to die in our place, and that's what he did. He sacrificed his life for us. He came in meek and humble. A good life, good deeds, and humility come from true wisdom. The wisdom books in the Bible are Job, Proverbs, Psalms, Song of Songs, and Ecclesiastes. Job, Proverbs, Psalms, and Song of Songs are true wisdom books of the Bible. Ecclesiastes is a wisdom book, but it's believed that Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, and God had given Solomon great wisdom. Because he asked for it. He was a kid and he was leading. He was the king. He's the son of King David. And he was chosen to lead the people of God in that time. And God came to him in a dream and he says, "What? Ask me for anything." Who would like that, huh? Ask me for anything. And he said, I want a discerning heart and I want understanding so I could lead your people. And God's like, since you didn't ask to kill your enemy or riches and glory, I'm going to give you that wisdom. You will be greater than anybody else that has ever been or ever will be besides Jesus. You'll be the greatest man. And I will give you all that. I will give you riches. And he had it all, right? And what did he do with it? He goes in this wisdom. He's like, I'm going to go see if I can actually be satisfied with the things that the world can give me. I mean, he had sex, drugs, and rock and roll to the max. And what did he come up with? It was like chasing air or grabbing for air. It's all vanity. It's empty. And so I know that God allowed that so that we could see that. Doesn't matter how much money you make, how many things that you acquire in this life. It'll bring you happiness for a moment. But true happiness, true fulfillment can only come from God. It comes from God. So let's look at Job. Job 28, verses 20 through 28. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds in the sky. Destruction and death say, only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells, for he views the ends of the earth, and he sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. The Hebrew word for fear is yira, and it means reverence. It doesn't mean we're afraid of God, like, oh my God, don't hurt me. It means that we have a reverence for God, the fear of the Lord. A reverence for the Lord is the beginning. It is the very start. That is wisdom. When we have a conscious awareness that God is real, that he's everywhere all the time, and that he already knows our heart. So there's no point in faking it. He already knows you through and through. That it changes you to know that whatever I do and whatever I say, I'm accountable to God because it's true. Everything that we do and we say, we will be accounted for one day. You will stand before God naked, alone. None of your kids will be there. None of your parents will be there. It'll be standing you before the mercy seat of Christ. If you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, it is the Bema seat, but we will still be accountable. Things will be burned up, and the deeds that last the fire, those will be the rewards that we will obviously lay at Jesus' feet, but there's a benefit to all of it. Like what you do and what you say, how you say it matters. It matters. So wisdom is applying the knowledge that God is real. He is sovereign. He is holy. He is love. He is grace. He is mercy. He's all those things. But because I am dead in Christ, see, when Christ was crucified in our place, he lived the life that we were supposed to live. He never sinned against God or anybody else in thought, word, and deed, and he walked and he talked only as the Father led him. And he went to the cross, and when he was crucified, the sins, your sins and mine, every sin that was ever committed by us or ever will be committed by us was paid for by Jesus, the perfect one. And he rose from the dead on the third day because there was no sin found in him. And so he overcame sin, death and hell. And he rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father so that all who believe, and you might not understand all you might not understand the crucifixion and the resurrection, but God puts it in every human to understand that this is truth. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe that he rose from the dead, you will be saved. You can't lose it. You can't work for it. You can't unwork for it. It's all inclusive like that. But he says, nobody comes to the Father except through me. It wasn't a threat. It was an invitation. Don't go the wrong way. Come through me. It's the only way. I died in your place. So why did I say all that? Because a reverence of knowing that opens up the floodgates I'm free now. I am free in Christ. And now all the wisdom of God is at my disposal. Because I'm a child of God, I can understand the Bible. And if I can understand the Bible, it says to know the truth. When you know the truth will set you free. When we know who we are and we know that God's promises are true, we begin to, okay, so now I have the knowledge of that. So now when I'm faced with circumstances that make me feel uncomfortable or my feelings, I feel defeated or angry or resentful, I can draw from that. You know what? I'm dead in Christ. And if I'm dead in Christ, that allows me to crucify the ego of Chris Jones, whatever I think, and I line it up with what you think, God. Because your promises are true, and you said I could have them, that they're mine. So then I make my decision. After I've considered this, that's the fear of the Lord. I've considered these things. Now I will respond. Now I will make my decision. Wisdom begins with an awe of God. Fear of the Lord equals saving faith. And it says to shun evil is understanding. We are all sinners, but that's part of our walk with God is to not be okay for when we fall short. Not to be okay with me speaking ill of somebody. That conviction comes and, oh man, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry I talked to you that way. Or I'm thinking those crazy thoughts again. Those aren't of you, God. But to own it and fight against it, to shun it. Proverbs 3:13-18 says, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold fast to her will be blessed. Wisdom is what we should all strive for, what all of us should be praying for. With great godly wisdom, we are able to navigate life in a supernatural way. I call it's superpowers. To have self-control is wisdom. That's a superpower. If somebody's getting nuts with you, not to return evil for evil is a superpower. It takes an act of God. And because if you return love for evil, you will watch the healing begin. The peace. Love wins. See, we forget or we don't believe that. And we operate out of the old human nature that says, if you get me, I'm getting you too. Or if you get me, I may not do anything because I'm passive aggressive, but I'm murdering you in my mind. You know, we can be free from that. You're not a slave to that kind of behavior. You're a child of God. You actually get to draw off your inheritance and say, God, you know what? I reverence you. And you told me not to return evil for evil. In fact, you have made it clear that resentment, anger, bitterness are my poison. And I die from that. So I give this situation, I give this person to you. I trust you with this, but I'm not gonna meditate on this stuff any longer. I trust you. You'll move on my behalf. The truth will come to the light. If you are truly born again, you have received the wisdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, none of us manifest the full wisdom of God, obviously, but it should be increasing in manifestation as we grow in our obedience to His Word. See, reading your Bible isn't a religious duty. That's not why I keep hammering it week after week, and I will until Jesus takes me home, because it's when you understand who you are, when you've refreshed your mind with truth, you will operate in the truth. And you will grow in your obedience to God. Less and less you will operate out of your flesh. Will you do it perfectly? No. I don't either. But we get better and better, and we see more fruit, we see more healing, we see less chaos, less confusion, less anxiety. And that's why they say it's wisdom's better than gold, rubies, Rolls Royces, a mansion on earth, millions of dollars in your bank account. Wisdom, you can't put a price on it. You can't put a price on the freedom that there is when we operate and we understand and we believe that we are children of God. Here are the words of Jesus. Oh, wait. How you live is a barometer of what you believe. What you really believe is how you live. You have faith and wisdom, then you operate faith and wisdom. Now here's the words of Jesus in Matthew 7. Excuse me. Verses 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So Jesus, the key word here, it says you hear the word of God and you put it into practice. We practice before the storm comes. We hear the word of God. Wisdom is applying it at the right time in the right way for the right reasons. And we practice that, and we practice that. So when it does come, when the storms of life come, and baby, they're coming, we don't crash. We don't throw in the towel. We don't make horrible decisions that make our life worse. We stand strong on the rock. We hold our peace. You know that nobody can take your peace. You got to give it away. It's yours to have. You can walk through whatever this life throws at you and keep your peace. You don't have to understand it or even enjoy it, but you can have peace. Trust God. Trust God through this. But we have to practice. Practice that. Practice living well. Practice telling the truth. Practice being humble and kind. Practice being merciful and gracious. You know what? They're a sinner just like me. They have shortcomings just like me. I need grace. I'm going to give grace. I need mercy. I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to practice what I've learned. As you practice, your life will change. It does change. It changes. And you feel, it's like after you've actually done it, you've crucified your own ego. You've crucified all the ideas. And you say, God, I just want to do it your way this time. And you do it, you will see the power, which is the fruit that scriptures talk about. You are right. Like, you are right. You are true. You are faithful. You did. Being obedient to you was the right thing to do. Again. And there's power behind that. You find that obeying God, even when it's uncomfortable, that's what we like to run from, guys. Human beings in general want to be comfortable. And when there's an uncomfortable situation, an uncomfortable conversation you should have, we want to run or ignore it. Just not, you know, pretend it doesn't exist. But really, it does. Because you're carrying that. You think about that. The freedom comes when you can have the conversation. The freedom comes when you can look that situation right in the eye and speak the truth in love, and you will find that you can not only walk through it, but there was a purpose behind it, and now you're stronger because of it. There's fruit that comes from that. You're better than you were yesterday because you obeyed the word of God and you walked through it. It's foolish to think that just going to church or a Bible study or even participating in a ministry to check the box. Like, I did it. I went to the outreach. I play on the worship team. I go to the Bible study. I come to church every Sunday. I check the box. You're foolish if you think that does it in and of itself, and then behaving like the world is okay. God is the God of love and grace and mercy, yes. But he's also holy and righteous. Verse 14, James looks at the motives behind earthly wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. These are the motives behind earthly wisdom. Envy, the Greek word for it is zealous, and it means jealousy. Morally corrupt, zealous, ill will. That bitterness, jealousy, and selfish ambition, the Greek word is aretheia, and it means self-seeking and antagonistic. So that this is where the earthly wisdom will come from, is self. You're thinking about you. You're only thinking about you, and you've got bitterness in your heart. You've got jealousy in your heart. You've got, you know, you're fully focused on yourself. Anybody who disagrees with you is wrong. And they're an enemy. This kind of thinking, this is worldly thinking. You're wrong, and because you disagree with me, you're my enemy. It's my way or the highway. That kind of self-centeredness. God made me this way, deal with it. Human wisdom is self-focused, looking out for number one. It's the fulfillment of ego. And it's basically, to put it all in one word, it's the biggest sin of mankind, and that is pride. It's our pride. James is saying that if you carry these things in your heart, saying check your heart. He wrote this to the church, not people out there in the world. He wrote this to the church and said, check your heart daily for these things. And if you do carry these things in your heart, don't boast about it that you're spirit led. Because the spirit is not leading you to feel those things, to operate in those things, to operate out of those things. And he says, because you're lying. Don't boast about it, because you're lying. That word for deny the truth, is pseudomai, and it means to lie. You're lying about the truth. Verse 15 in James chapter 3 says, such wisdom does not come down from heaven. That is not earth. If you're feeling that stuff, it's not from God. You're feeling confused, anxiety, resentful, bitter. That is not from God. It does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So there's three characteristics of earthly wisdom that James speaks of here. And there are three enemies. We have three enemies, guys. You know what they are? The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, he's talking about earthly. Such wisdom is earthly. And that's the world. And I mean, all you got to do is scroll through your phone, and you'll see a bunch of self-wisdom, earthly wisdom, self-promotion. Self-philosophy. Masquerading self-care for self-centeredness. Preaching that it's self-care, but it's all about being self-centered. Self-care is self-care, but it's not at the cost of somebody else's pain. That's self-centeredness. I just looked into those lights. Oh my gosh. I'm blind. The flesh, that's our second enemy, the flesh. The unspiritual, that's our flesh. We all have a sin nature passed down generation after generation after generation. We all have a sin nature. That's our flesh. That's what we must fight, because our feelings, although valid, are not the truth. That's not the truth that we operate out of. If we operate out of our feelings, you're going to have a chaotic, confusing life. When I finally learned how to shut my mouth, just pause and wait, I found out that those feelings that I had were absolutely off the mark with what that person intended. The more that I shut my mouth, take a moment, or ask some questions, I realized, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I did not react, because I would have been way off and I would have sinned against them and I would have caused more chaos, even worse. The flesh is my enemy. I'm allowed to have feelings. God gave us feelings. We're allowed. But we need to process those feelings according to truth. And then we respond. In love, the truth in love, right? Speak the truth in love. I may have to have boundaries with a person, but I can do it in love. I don't have to get upset, smash windows, scream, cuss. I can just draw a boundary. Third enemy is the devil, the demonic. I don't want to give him too much power because Christ has conquered that sucker. But we are living in a world. This is his world, this earthly world. He's the prince of the power of the air. And there are things pelting your mind and my mind on the daily that are antichrist, that are anti-God, anti-truth, very much about self, very much about how much you lack. If you just had this, if you just took this pill, if you just drove this car, then you'd be good looking and rich. Look at this, you know, look at all I have. And we're all getting pelted with demonic wisdom. So be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you hear and you let allow go into your heart and you call that truth. Because we can do that and not be conscious of what we just did. Amen? We need to be careful what we listen to, what we allow for it to enter our heart and go, yeah, that's true. That's true. One is marked by their own curse by living this way. Pride and self-centeredness will leave you bankrupt, spiritually, emotionally, and relationally bankrupt. So you see it all the time. People are so, they need attention so bad. And it's all about self. They need attention. And they're empty. They're empty. They're grasping for air. They're chasing the wind. They'll never be satisfied. No matter how many likes they get. No matter how many hits. James 3:16 says this, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. These are the results of the motives of earthly wisdom. These are the results of evil motives. Is disorder, which is the Greek word is, can we get this right? Katastasia. And it means rebellion, chaos, confusion. So where you have selfish or jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find chaos, confusion, rebellion, and every evil practice. Lying, cheating, stealing, pain. These things destroy things in your life like unity, fellowship, harmony, love, intimacy, and peace. And these are all things that we really, really want in our lives. Things that you can't put a price on. Unity, fellowship, harmony, love, intimacy, true intimacy, where we get to be ourselves. And we know that we're good enough. and peace. Peace. Verse 17 says this, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, so now he's going to give these motives. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Godly wisdom's motive is first pure. That Greek word is hagnos, and it means innocent. So when we check our hearts, what is my motive here? Is it pure? Am I coming from a good place with this? Because if I am, it's from God. First thing I must check are my motives. If my motives are pure, I'm good for the next step. And then it says, peace-loving. And that Greek word is erekinos. And it means peaceful with a focus of having freedom from emotional worry and frustration. So if I, whatever I'm thinking, whatever I'm meditating on, do I have peace or is there anxiety? If there's anxiety, something's wrong. If I don't have peace, something's wrong. I need to check it with God first. I need to check it to the Word of God. Is this truth? Am I operating in truth right now? Are my motives pure? Or do I need to repent? Do I need to pray about this more? Because I just don't have peace. The wisdom from God is peaceful, and it will not bring you any kind of anxiety. Consider it. How we say things matters. How we speak the truth matters. If you've sinned against me and I come to you and I say, you know, you really need to work on your spiritual maturity. You're very immature. Are you going to receive that? Or does that automatically put you on a... Right? Hey, how about this? Hey, I know you probably didn't mean to do this, but when you said this to me, it really hurt. I just wanted to come to you and just let you know that it hurt me. I know you probably didn't mean to do it, but I just wanted to come to you. That's a lot better. I'm being considerate of that other person. I'm not giving them a word punch. Being considerate. And I'm being submissive. There's that cuss word again. I'm being submissive to the Holy Spirit. It's okay to be a submissive person. I've realized that's not where I come from, right? I'm egomaniac with an insecurity complex. That's Chris Jones. To submit and be submissive to another, especially to God, it frees me. It keeps my ego dead. And there is power in that. There is power in that kind of behavior. And that kind of behavior will be full of mercy. Because I'm submissive to the Holy Spirit. I'm submissive in the sense of I know that I am saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Hallelujah. So where do I get off throwing the first stone? So I can deal with life. I can deal with people coming low, soft and gentle, full of mercy. What happens? Good fruit. Good fruit happens from that. Good, which means good results. It's impartial and sincere. Godly wisdom is always real. You're coming from a real place. You ain't faking it. This ain't, fake love. I'm not forcing myself to be nice to you. I'm actually being nice. James is drawing in this text. He's drawing from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' own words. His own words. And that these aren't in any particular order. I just took them from verse 17. In Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the meek, which is power under control, submissive, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Here's a quote. Don't know who said this, but it's really good, so I'm giving somebody credit for it. Wise people know how to learn. They never seek knowledge for their own sake. They know how to talk. They speak the truth in love. They know how to act. And they pursue justice and evade evil. Perceptive people balance their words and actions. They say and do the right things at the right time for the right reasons. The discerning person soon realizes that biblical wisdom is more about practice than philosophy. Wise people live skillfully. They apply heavenly counsel to earthly conduct. It's out of the reverence and obedience to God that comes great wisdom. Reverence you, Lord. I know you exist. I know you're real. I'm your creation. You've called me your son or daughter. And therefore, because I call you my Lord, because I call you my God, I get to draw off the inheritance that is your wisdom, God. Your promises are for me. Every single one of them are for me. If you promised it, I can have it. If you said it, it's the truth. If I can literally become more like you, Jesus, by dying to myself, and that looks like you going, you know what? I feel like doing this right now. But I'm not going to do it because the word of God says that I must do this. I must walk in gentleness, kindness. I will reap a harvest of goodness. I will see the power of God work through me if I trust him. If I die to myself, die to my feelings and trust him, he will do the rest. And let me tell you something. He will. You will see a shift in your life. You will see the fruit that comes from it. God will actually heal relationships through you because you're not returning evil for evil. You're returning love every time. You're returning mercy and grace, consideration and love every time. You can't fight love. You can't fight Jesus. He wins. Love wins. Godly wisdom creates purpose, healing, balance, peace, unity, and love in abundance. In abundance. So that's our challenge for this week, church. It's a challenge for the rest of our lives, but let's try to take this in increments so we can win at. This week, let's focus on that. How is my heart? Is it checking our hearts? What are my motives? Is this from God or is this from me? Is this from God or is this some kind of demonic information that I've grabbed off the internet? Is this from God or is this my flesh? And I know if you choose to obey God and come in gentle, you can deal with whatever comes your way this week and you will be blessed. You will be blessed. You may not see it immediately, but you will. You can walk away going, I trusted you, God. You do the rest. So I never want to end a service without giving an opportunity. Everything that we talked about starts with being a child of God. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And all that he asks from us is to have faith in what he did on the cross, the finished work of Christ. We ask him into our heart. It's not the prayer that pray. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's the surrender that the prayer leads us to of saying, I need you, God. I need you. Save me. Change me. Give me all those things Pastor Chris just preached. I want them in my life. He will. He's faithful. And there won't be any way you could ever lose it. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ or you want to rededicate your heart today because you just know you haven't been walking with him like you should, I'd like to give you that opportunity. Just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. Never given your life to Jesus, you want to rededicate your heart, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. Okay, I saw your hand, buddy. So this is a profession of faith. Pray this prayer out loud. Church, will you help us out? Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. So I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness. I repent and I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Today, I am yours. You are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Father God, shine your face on your people as they go this week. I thank you, Father, Holy Spirit, just remind us of who we are in you, Lord Jesus. Remind us of who we are and the blessings and the promises that we get to live in daily. I pray your highest and best blessing over your people as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week.